In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. So I'm sure that all of us have heard the phrase, silent is golden. I know that when I was growing up with three brothers in our house, that I'm sure we heard that quite often, although my memory has failed me now as I've gotten older. But I'm sure that we heard it quite a bit. Silence is golden. And I know as parents, we've said the same thing to our kids a time or two as they were running through the house or raising their voices maybe or slamming doors or so on and so forth. So we all know about this. But it can also be applied to our spiritual life as well. How often do we fail to hear what is around us because we are distracted ourselves from, or with rather, vain or worldly matters? We can be silent and not even talking, even in an environment where no one else is talking, and there can still be a lot of noise. How do we overcome this in our lives, in our what we think of as busy lives? Or do we even want to? Today is the second Sunday of Great and Holy Lent, and as we know, each year on this day we commemorate our Venerable Father Gregory Palamas, Archbishop of Thessaloniki. He lived in the 14th century, and he's well known, among other things, for the writings that he offered in defense of hesychasts. Hesychasts were those in the monastic communities who regularly practiced a life of silence, especially a life of silence during prayer. The word hesychast comes from the Greek word isihia, hesychia, meaning silence. We often think of our prayer as talking with God, talking to God and talking with God. But do we ever think of our prayer as not talking, as not saying anything? The hesychastic prayers is not only about talking, about not talking rather, but it's about not thinking, having no thoughts at that time. If, as St. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, that we are bodies, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, then God's Spirit indeed does live in us. So what we need to be doing then is constantly being attentive to God's Spirit within us, this temple, and the Word of God that is speaking in our hearts. Isihia, or hesychasm, can be likened to contemplation, which begins where our prayers leave off, where our prayers end, where there are indeed no words or no actions or no thoughts, enjoying the Lord in silence. It's as close to heaven as we can get here on earth. St. Theophan the Recluse in the 19th century said that hesychastic prayer leads us into the very presence of God. He said, "To pray is to descend with the mind into the heart, and there to stand before the face of the Lord, ever present, all seeing within you." Think of the gospel message, the gospel reading that we just heard from the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, when Jesus tells the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, when he said this, the scribes who heard this were thinking he was blaspheming because, of course, as they said, only God can forgive sins. And then we hear this. We hear that Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. No words spoken. Our Lord was perceiving in his spirit while they were thinking in their hearts of this. In addition, in the gospel of the Saturday before Cheese Fair Sunday, Christ tells us, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For your Father knows the things that you have need of even before you ask Him." Matthew chapter 6. So the question might be, what are we supposed to be thinking when we are praying? prayerfully standing or sitting silently in the presence of the Lord? Well, the hesychast would tell you, don't be thinking about anything. Don't allow any thoughts to come into your mind. We should attempt to put all these thoughts out of our mind, especially the negative thoughts. Especially the negative thoughts. And only concentrate on the presence and the love and the grace and the mercy of God. Again, another father of the church, Saint Silouan of Manathos, and many other saints offered teaching about this practice. And one of the teachings were about these thoughts, these logismi, that were often understood by the saints and by the fathers of the church and by those who practiced this particular silent prayer of the hesychast, that these logismi were negative thoughts or evil thoughts. These logismi are dangerous because they come into our minds. They can plant the seed for sin, which they said, which then takes root and leads to sinful words and sinful actions. So they offered to us, they implored us to be very mindful of what thoughts are coming into our mind. We need to do our best, certainly when we are praying, but at all days of our lives, to screen out these thoughts of envy, of anger, of lust, of pride, and of all these negative passions. However, it's very difficult to do this, they tell us, if we do not practice isikia, or silence. Let me come back to this in a moment. So then when we pray silently, we should go into the secret room of our heart and shut the door. Again, referring to Matthew chapter 6. And as we stand there silently, we will quickly become aware of all sorts of thoughts, even maybe mundane thoughts. They will distract us from the very presence and power of God. So then we must quickly put them out of our mind. And I think you understand this, the times that you take when you pray at home or here in church or wherever you are, how quickly these other thoughts, these other distractions can come into our mind. But we must, as quick as they come into our mind, put them out of our mind. Now, we may have legitimate worries or concerns in our lives. In fact, I'm sure that we do. About people we love who are suffering, or even ourselves. These thoughts we must quickly offer up to God as prayers, and then let go of them, release them, knowing that ultimately everything in our lives are in His hands. Now, going back to this thought of logismi, the practice of rejecting negative or evil thoughts and offering up our legitimate concerns is, if you will, like cleaning out the house of our heart and our mind. Just as we clean our own homes or our own cars or our own places where we work or the various places that we clean, we do the same thing with the house of our heart and the house of our soul. So then without the clutter, the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, as we hear from Philippians chapter 4. So, if any of us have ever tried to practice real, true silence, tell me, why is it so difficult for us? Why is it difficult for us to be silent? Not talk, but more than just not talk, to be silent. You see, the fact is that as humans, we are not very comfortable with being silent. Being quiet. We spend most of our lives, in fact, avoiding silence. Or we could say that our lives are too busy. We don't know how to be silent. Even our idea of silence is not silent. We come home away from the busy world that we work or we live in, and we come to our home to be silent and to rest, and what do we often do? We turn on the TV, we go to our iPad, we go to our iPhone, we go to our computer, we're on the phone talking to someone. doesn't seem to be very relaxing. And I know this in my own life, as it's been pointed out to me, so I understand this. Even we do something to avoid being silent. And we think this is our idea of being relaxed, is to come home to do this. This is relaxing to us, we say. Why do we do this? One reason may be that we want to avoid something. We want to avoid the things that live deep down inside us, whether it be pain or sadness or anger or any of these emotions. Perhaps we even wish to avoid that voice within us. We want to avoid the voice of God because of guilt or of pride. Try to remain in silence for a period of time each day, whether it be early morning, late at night, even during the day, wherever we are. Walk away from what you're doing and be silent. And I don't mean being silent in front of the TV or being silent in front of the iPad or the iPhone or the computer, or being silent straightening this and straightening that and reading this and reading that. I mean truly being silent. Remove all the distractions around from you. Don't start a to-do list and think what you have to do tomorrow. Stand in front of the icons in the altar of your home and remember that you are indeed standing before the altar of your heart. It could be for a minute, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, for however long. Metropolitan Anthony of blessed memory says in his book, Beginning to Pray, that silence is foundational for the life of prayer. And as noted before, sometimes even our own prayers can be noise before God. Mother Teresa says the following about silence. She said, "We need to find God, and He cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, see how the trees, how the flowers, how the grass grow in silence. See the stars, see the moon and the sun, how they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls. The journey towards God, the journey that we have in this Lenten period and the journey that we have in our lives must eventually take its path directly through our own heart and our own soul. Jesus reminded us in Luke chapter 17, the kingdom of God is within you. In addition, during the Sermon on the Mount, He taught about the inner life necessary for salvation. Our Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now it came to pass in those days that He went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God, we read in chapter 6 of Luke. If our Lord found it necessary to guard carefully the time of quietness and reflection, if He had to be alone to keep His soul steady, how much more should we be doing this? How much more should we be spending time in silence? Silent prayer. We cannot know our Lord. We cannot know the Lord our God if we are always in motion, if we are always caught up and held prisoners by the rush and the pace of life. It is like when we go into our closet and shut the door that God has an opportunity to become real to us. And perhaps this is the reason that God makes silence happen in our lives. The silence of sleep. The silence of sickness or illness, the silence of sorrow, even the silence of death. Be still and know that I am God. The psalmist tells us, Psalm 46, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. So then, it must be understood that silent prayer that we have can also not be stand alone. Our silent prayer is also related to our corporate or our public or our common prayer. It is intimately related to our worship, the worship that we are doing right now together as a community. As one of the saints said, there could be no closet prayer without common prayer. It is common prayer that gives us the inspiration and enthusiasm and guidance to practice silent prayer. That is why we were here today, to worship collectively our Lord. During the prayer before the gospel that was just read a few moments ago, the priest, Father Peter, read, "Shine within our hearts, loving Master, the pure light of your divine knowledge." Shine within our hearts, loving Master, the pure light of your divine knowledge. We cannot take a shortcut. We cannot take a detour to avoid going through our own heart and our own mind and our own soul. While we're there, may be many things that we do not want to face deep down inside us. But remember, believe, and trust that God is there also. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is there in our hearts also. If we ask Him, if we invite Him to be there, that is where He sees us. That is where He knows us. That is where He blesses us. That is where He heals us. If we are willing to sacrifice our passions on the secret altar of our heart. Amen.